Matthew chapter 8, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 13. Page 813 in the Pew Bible. Let's listen to the reading of God's holy word, Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." And when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that your word is absolute truth and profitable for us. And we pray for your spirit to work in our hearts this morning. Open our eyes, open our hearts to this text. Change us, grow us. Father, I pray that I am faithful as I preach. And Lord, I pray you be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the Sermon on the Mount is over. You know, it took about 3 months and we got through it, but the sermon's over. But here is the thing. Jesus just taught, right? He just taught that long sermon about God, about man, about man's heart. Jesus is more than just teaching. He's more than just speaking. Jesus does. Jesus is a God of action, a God of healing, and Matthew wants to show us that. So here he comes off of the mount, and he did that sermon, but now he heals. Now he heals. And over the next few weeks, we're going to look at a lot of healings that Jesus has done. But let's look specifically here at verses 1 through 4. Let's look at this first healing of the morning. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him, and behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them." All right, so here, what do we see? Jesus, as I said, is done with a sermon, and he comes down. But notice in verse 1, what do we see? Great crowds are following him. Isn't that interesting? Jesus just expounded, this sermon. He just opened the Ten Commandments and men's hearts, opened them up and revealed what man's hearts are, you know, sinful. And he showed grace in this Sermon on the Mount. And people are following him. People are intrigued by him. They're intrigued by his words. They maybe some of them don't exactly get what he just taught, but they're following him. They want to know more about Jesus. They want to see more about him. But notice it's not just crowds that are following him, right? Notice that Matthew points out in particular a person. And what do we see? Behold, a leper. A leper came to Jesus. Now, when I say leper, we have a basic understanding of what that means. You know, it's a man or a woman suffering from leprosy, a very serious and contagious skin ailment. But it's just more than an ailment. It's more than just a contagious disease. The life of a leper was tough. to put it mildly, the life of a leper involved, you know, being quarantined. If you thought it was hard for the stay-at-home order, think again. This is a whole lot harder. No one could be around a leper. They were forced out of the community, essentially. They were not allowed to worship. They were not allowed to participate in religious ceremonies. And you know what else? They were not allowed to be touched or touch. No hugs from their family. No handshakes. No high fives. No fist bumps. Because I'm pretty sure the culture of Jesus did fist bumps like that. None of that. They were isolated, exiled in a sense, because they were considered unclean. That was the life of a leper. And that's why this moment is incredible on so many levels. Here, what do we see? We see, behold, a leper comes to Jesus. So here we have this leper, this man that is a social exile, social outcast, a man that should not be near anyone. And look what he does. He comes to Jesus. He humbly comes to Jesus and kneels before Jesus. And look at what he says. This is so important. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. If you will, you can make me clean. There's so much there, isn't there? There's so much there. First, the fact that he came up to Jesus is incredible. The fact that he approached Jesus. Remember, there's a great crowd following Jesus. He had like this, this mass of people following him. And here is a leper. He's not to be in this crowd. He's not to be around all these people. But he is. He does not care. He comes up and then he comes to Jesus. Again, obviously people had different ideas of who Jesus was. Not everyone understood who Jesus was. But at the very least, this man knew something about Jesus, didn't he? He knew he could be healed from Jesus. However he knew that, we don't know, but he knew he could be healed, so he went up to him. He wanted to be healed. Can you imagine? If you have the stomach bug, as you're gripping onto that toilet, what are you praying for? I want to be healed. Right? Right? Am I the only one that's doing that? Right? If we have a broken bone in our arm, in our wrist, whatever, Kathy, right? You pray for your wrist. I want to be healed. Right? We pray when we're hurting. We want to be healed. I am unapologetic about praying for a miraculous healing for Aiden and Darian. Unapologetic. I want them to be healed. And this man wanted to be healed. He didn't care what the rules were at this point. He wanted to come to Jesus. And notice what he calls Jesus then as he kneels there in humility. He calls him Lord. So there's this humility there of him, bending on knee, but there's this reverence. There's this respect for Jesus. It's not that Jesus is just this doctor or this really good religious leader, right? It's no. Somehow he knows you've healed. You've helped people like me before. You're caring. You're compassionate. You're loving. You're kind. You're merciful. You're the Lord. And so he goes and he approaches him, not puffing out his chest, not arrogantly, but humbly and reverently approaches the Lord. The Lord. And he knew, third, he knew Jesus had the power to heal. He knew he had the power. Because notice the question, not, can you? But if you're willing, heal me. If you're willing, heal me. So here this leper knew that Jesus could and was just asking, will you? Will you heal him? Will you heal him? There was no question of authority here in this leper's mind about Jesus. And then we get to verse 3. And we see, and look at verse 3. We see Jesus be so, well, Jesus, right? That's why we love him. That's why we just love our Lord. Look what he does. He reached out his hand and touched the leper. Again, that is huge. Because no one was to touch the leper. No one was to go close to any one of these. And can you imagine, be out of fear, because they don't want to be ostracized too. They don't want to be exiled too. They don't want to get this disease. And can you imagine just what a life is like? I'm not getting a pat on the back. And what a life is like, I'm not getting any hugs. Whether it's the Christian side hug or just a real hug, right? He didn't get those. He wanted that. And Jesus, what does he do? He touches him. A touch of love. A touch of compassion. A touch of, you're human. You're a person. I love you. And he touches him. He takes him by the hand. Can you imagine that feeling for that man? Can you imagine that feeling? Just the electricity that must have gone through him as Jesus grabbed that hand and broke down that wall there, that societal wall. Jesus, then what? He doesn't just grab his hand, but what does Jesus do? He shows that compassion. He shows that mercy, and he heals him. And notice how the healing happens. It's immediately. He's immediately healed. It's not like, hey, take two of these and call me in the morning and see if it works. He's immediately healed. And not only is he immediately healed, but he's to go out, right? Show himself to the priest. Go to the temple. Worship. Offer the sacrifice. Offer worship to God. Isn't that just great? He hasn't been able to worship, right? When we were stuck at home, right, that was hard. We wanted to be together, right? This dude couldn't worship for a very long time with anybody. And there was no, Zoom back then. And now he could go and he could go worship. But it's more than just going and worshiping, isn't it? It's to show the guys in charge that Jesus has authority. Don't you think that the guys of the temple would have known this leper? They would have known him, probably prevented him from worshiping in the past. Rightfully so, according to the ceremonial laws, right? But then they would see him miraculously healed. And they would find out, and they would see what? Jesus is not just a prophet. Jesus is God. And he was the proof. He was the proof. But it continues. Look now at verses 5 through 13. When he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. All right, so here's another moment where Jesus has an interaction with someone who needs healing, right? Who needs healing. It's not a leper. It's almost the exact opposite, right? Here we have a centurion. A centurion was a Roman soldier. This means that he was a Gentile. He was a Gentile. He wasn't a Jew. He was also probably very wealthy, right? He has a servant, after all. So he probably had money. But because he was part of the occupying army, because he was a Roman soldier, he was probably not liked very much by the Jews. He was probably hated. But he comes to Jesus nonetheless. He comes to Jesus nonetheless, and he asks him to heal his suffering servant, which I think is an interesting picture of Jesus there. But he agrees. Jesus agrees. Notice right away, Jesus, "Yeah, sure, let's go." He goes to his house. But then look at the response. Jesus here is showing grace. He's showing mercy. "Let's go. I'm going to heal the servant." Like no big deal. And he says, "No." Verse 8, "I am not worthy." Think about that. Think about who this man is. A centurion, a Roman soldier, one of the best. He's rich, he's wealthy, he's in charge. And he says he is not worthy to have Jesus come into his house. This man gets Jesus. Again, just like with a leper, there's no arrogance here. There's no boldness. Look at me. Come to my house. I'm a Roman. No, don't come to my house. Don't come to my house. Just say the word. Just say the word. Isn't that belief amazing? He knew that Jesus didn't have to come. He didn't have to lay hands on him. He didn't have to grab him by the hand. He didn't have to roll up mud and throw it on his eyes, right? Like the blind man. He just knew. Just say the word and he will be healed. This man, this Roman centurion, again, exact opposite type of person than that leper, understood who Jesus was. That he was Lord, that he was in charge, that he had the authority and the power to heal this suffering servant. He had real belief. And look at Jesus' response. Jesus marveled at his response. I mean, usually that word is used like for people responding to Jesus, right? Jesus heals someone. The crowd marveled, all right? Oh, wow. Here Jesus is marveling. Here Jesus is in awe because first, he's in awe of this man's faith. He's in awe of this man's faith. And what is Jesus, how does Jesus describe it? Now remember, these crowds are followers, like they're the disciples, they're people, they're random strangers, but there's also who? Jews, right? Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees are probably in there. And here, Jesus proclaims that this man's faith is the greatest of faith. No one in Israel has faith like this Gentile. That's a bold statement. That's an amazing statement. And what Jesus is doing here, just like with a leper, is he's tearing down walls, right? With a leper, he tore down like a societal wall, okay? He touched him. But here, in a sense, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong later, if I'm using the wrong word, but I don't think I am, it's an ecclesiastical wall, okay? It's not just Jews who are saved. It's Gentiles too. It's not just those who are part of the nation of Israel, physically, okay? I know you can go to Romans and we can talk about that later, but physically, it's Gentiles who can be saved as well. Jesus here is tearing down walls and then to say, this Gentile is the greatest of faith, greater than anyone in Israel. It's an amazing statement. And I'm sure the Pharisees that were there, the religious leaders that were there, took note of that. But secondly, what he's saying here is, Gentiles can be saved. People from other nations can be saved. Isn't that for us here this morning, that's a beautiful statement. It's not just Jews that Jesus came to save. It's not just the people of Israel that Jesus came to save. It's all nations. People from America can be saved. We should all say amen to that. Because unless someone is literally from the nation of Israel, that's exciting, right? And visitors, if you are, I apologize. Jesus came to save the nations. Jesus came to save the nations. What hope this brought this Gentile crowd? Any Gentiles in this crowd? What joy this must have brought any Gentiles in this crowd? It's not just Jews, but also Gentiles. But third, what is Jesus saying here? This is where it gets a little awkward. Those from Israel might not be saved. You might be a part of the nation of Israel. You might be a Pharisee. You might be a religious leader, but that does not mean you are saved. In fact, what does he say? You will be going to the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is that? That's hell. When you are not saved, you go to hell. And that imagery is frightening. The weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's frightening imagery. Jesus is sending up warning flares to the Pharisees, and to anyone who's religious. It's not about being religious. It's not about your traditions, your religious traditions, or your religious customs. It's about God's grace through faith in me, the Messiah. That's what you need to know. You need to repent of your sins and trust me as your Lord and Savior. You don't need to work and try to earn yourself into heaven. It ain't going to happen. Stop being religious. Stop making it your own way. Come to me. That's what Jesus is saying here. And the same is true today. The same is true for all of us here today. It's not about just being a church member here. It's not about going to church your entire life. It's not about, well, I read my Bible every day, or I vote the right way, or a certain way, or this, or that, or that. No, no, no. It's about Jesus. It's only through Jesus are we saved. Nothing else. Now, I'm not saying going to church isn't important. I'm not saying, you know, being a member of church is not important. No, that's not what I'm saying. But you're not saved by being a church member. You're not saved by going to church. And that's what Jesus is saying here. Only Jesus saves you. And then look at verse 13. It's like an afterthought. Jesus heals the servant. Because that's not really the point of this, is it? When we are introduced to the centurion, we think, okay, another healing moment. another healing narrative, and it's there. But that's not what Jesus had in mind. Jesus wanted to make it clear to the centurion, to those in the crowd, and to us today, that Jesus saves sinners. Yes, he heals. Yes, he healed. And that was important. That was great. But Jesus saves sinners. Whether you are Gentile or whether you are Jew, Jesus saves sinners. But then again, this whole passage is about healing, isn't it? But not the healing of the servant. This section, this passage, and the leper as well, it points us to the greater healing, doesn't it? See, leprosy, as horrible as it was, and man, we don't want that for anybody. That's an earthly problem. But there's a greater problem that we all have, whether you're a leper or not, and that's the problem of our sin and our heart. We are sinful people, all of us. No one is free from sin. And this text points us to the greater healing that Jesus brings. The healing of not any physical ailment, but of our sin ailment. Only Jesus can save us from sin. Only Jesus can make us clean. Now, I know that most of us here know that. But we should respond to that, shouldn't we? We should respond to that great truth. We should, as Jesus did here to this man, we should marvel at that truth. Jesus, by God's grace, heals us, cleanses us, saves us. Every single day of our life, we should marvel at that great truth. Marvel at it and not take it for granted, but be in awe of that. We should be humbled by that. Like the centurion, like the leper, we should not approach Jesus like with our chests puffed out and like, look at us. As we come to worship, we shouldn't be like, oh, wow, look how great we are as we sing. We should be humbled. Like, wow, I'm even allowed to be here? I can, through Christ, even worship God? We should be humbled by this great truth that Jesus and Jesus alone cleanses us, heals us from our sin problem. And quite frankly, this should lead us to worship. Worship here together, but worship on our own. When we're by ourselves, when we're with others or whatever, but we should be just living a life of constant worshiping God, praising Him. We were talking in my men's Sunday school, which if you're a man, you can come to. That sounded so non-cultural, sorry. I'll be sued now for that, so that's okay. But we were talking about the deity of Jesus, and I just, in the middle of the class, I just thought about, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I was never taught Sunday school, I never went to a Sunday school in my life. I didn't know the truth. The only thing I knew was kind of Noah and kind of Jesus' birth, but obviously not enough. And now I know that Jesus is God. Wow. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. And if that is you, you are blessed too. If Jesus cleansed you, if he healed you, we are all so blessed. Let us rejoice, marvel, be humbled by that, and praise our Lord and Savior every single day. Be drawn closer and closer to him. But maybe you're here though, and you don't know him. Maybe you're kind of like the Pharisees in the crowd or just the individual in the crowd and you think, okay, you're saved by doing good works or you're saved by going to church, being religious, or you're saved for whatever reason other than Jesus. It's not what he says. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So if you are here and you don't know Christ, come to know him. Repent of your sins and trust him as your Lord and Savior. And you will know him. You will be saved. You will be healed. You will be cleansed. And you will be forgiven. Isn't that beautiful? Come to Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this amazing narrative that you've given us through Matthew. And Father, we're dirtier than a leper. Our sin, we are so tainted. Thank you that you save us by your grace. Thank you that through Christ and the work on the cross that he accomplished, we are made clean. We are forgiven. We are healed. Thank you for that. Let that truth, the truth that we all know, but let that truth truly change us, truly change our hearts and make us look more like Christ. And Father, if there's someone here who has never repented, never trusted you, Lord Jesus, as their Savior, Father, work in their heart. Bring them to Jesus, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.